Now, you know, this is just such an interesting season, and I want to start my message to you this morning, helping you understand how strange I am, because that was my son that said that. I feel like sometimes I take positions that nobody else agrees with. One of them that since I was 25 years old, I felt that Thanksgiving was so significant, but that no Christmas discussions should occur, no Christmas trees, no decorations, no Christmas music especially, anywhere around Christmas, nothing before Thanksgiving. No turkey, no. Not even mashed potatoes, nothing. I don't want to have, we are going to focus on Thanksgiving, not on Christmas. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it, but over the years, Christmas has proceeded to disrupt Thanksgiving more and more every year. It has taken over, in fact. And if you don't believe me, go to Home Depot. They've been selling Christmas trees for 5 weeks already. They've got Christmas decorations. The pressure to welcome Christmas into your home long before Thanksgiving has been very successful in impeding on our understanding of the significance of Thanksgiving. And since today is the last Sunday before Thanksgiving, I want to talk about that with you this morning. You see, I think sometimes people don't hear me because I say the same things over and over. And it's like, oh, there he goes again. I rolled eyes and, yeah, I can hear Pastor John. But tell you the truth, by the time Thanksgiving holiday rolls around, most of us are probably already overwhelmed with thoughts about Christmas. Most of it financial. How are we going to make it through? Who are we buying gifts for? Where's the money going to come from? How do we fix up the house? How do we prepare for the visitors that are going to come? Do we have time? Are we going to go to somebody else's house for Thanksgiving? Oh, don't worry about that. Christmas is coming. So we lose the significance. And I got to tell you that there is no other U.S. holiday as distinctive as Thanksgiving. And unless you live overseas, in a foreign country, that's probably not something you would really understand. It's really interesting to be in a foreign country where they don't even advertise Thanksgiving. Christmas actually starts in October because they're all into the economics of it as well. So you go, wow, so you come back to America, and one of the most significant things about Thanksgiving, you're all probably familiar with it, is I have to go home. I'm going home. And travel becomes a big deal. And they start advertising how difficult it is to get a plane, a train, a car, whatever. If you live on the mainland, you got four different ways to get around: train, plane, car, feet. And right? And you start thinking, how am I going to get home for the holidays? It's holidays, it's not necessarily Thanksgiving. But I think my son was telling me, or we were just talking about it, you think about transportation at Thanksgiving, you're in for a shock. Often with the pricing and the difficulty to get a seat. Some people are flying on Thanksgiving Day because they couldn't get out earlier. Now, we don't all get confronted with those. But I want to tell you, I think that in our busy, deadline-fixated age, expressing gratitude to our Heavenly Father, which is a key component of Thanksgiving, is too easily squeezed out of our lives. But it's important in a couple of ways that I just touch on it real fast. First, I think human beings are hardwired to do this. We are hardwired. The first Thanksgiving from a traditional standpoint was an acknowledgement that everything had gone well, even though many people died leading up to it. But they were so grateful for having gotten there that they needed to celebrate. They just needed to. Now, that was a distinctive occurrence. We might not be able to appreciate what they went through to get to where they got to because we're born in a place and we think that, you know, it's quite a normal thing. But my grandparents' parents traveled from Portugal, and it took like 4 months to get here from Portugal. Around the part of South America, there was no canal to go through, and people died on the boat getting here. Well, we don't think about that. I mean, I can't imagine a month at sea, much less 4 months. And when you hit land, you forgot how to walk on something that's not moving. And it took them a while to get acclimated. We talk about time zones, you know? What's the time difference between us and Alaska? An hour? And you guys were overwhelmed with the time changes last night, right? It was like, it's an hour later. Yeah, hard to sleep. We go to the mainland, you got 2 hours on the West Coast, 3 hours during certain times of year. Go to the East Coast, and well, you've got to rest for a day because I'm just exhausted. But we think in terms of Thanksgiving. I want you to know that I think sometimes, this is my thought, that atheists even have a hard time with this idea of Thanksgiving. People who don't believe in God have to have unsettling moments when they have to think of giving thanks to somebody up there. Who do you give thanks to? How do you give thanks when pain is avoided or pleasure is gained? Do you give thanks to the mysticism of the world? But it leaves you with a scratch you can't itch. It leaves you with an itch you can't scratch. How come nobody caught that? Where are you going to put you? Oh, is it over? Is that the time to leave? Who is that invisible person that's throwing switches? Come out from around the wall. Can you look down there? The only controls are down here. Was it? There's nobody. Oh, look at Darren. Secondly, there's a more primeval urge to justify thanking God. On almost every page of the Bible, we see this as a theme, thanking God. It's all over. The Old Testament reverberates with the sound of people praising God. Israel's history is full of thanksgiving to God for showing them mercy and delivering them from disaster. We don't really think of those things anymore. Life is too good. We don't have disasters happening to us. Until something happens that's a disaster. And then we start thinking that. The New Testament, too, is no less full of thanksgiving. Jesus himself offers up thanks to God the Father. Most importantly, at the Last Supper. You think about that. Paul not only regularly gives thanks in the New Testament, he actually commands it of others. So there's an underlying theme in Christianity that we would be a people who give thanks. That's my point. Now, does that have anything to do with Thanksgiving? It's a day of celebration. I want to get into that. So the title of my message this morning is We Give Thanks. We Give Thanks. And I want to read from a scripture that I've chosen. This is 1 Chronicles 29, chapter 10 to 13. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands, all strength, our strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." Hallelujah. I thought it was very significant that Leah read from Psalm 103 this morning. This is the spirit of the day that I think God is shaking the church with. We have forgotten his greatness in many ways. Not only his greatness, but we have moved away from his greatness to acknowledge other things that we think might be of more urgent attention. And I'm here to call us back to the place that we put him number one again. And Thanksgiving is just the day that's significant that you can do something about this week. That's why this is important. It's important right now because you can do something to reestablish in your house, in your life, in your family, the importance of giving thanks to God. It's Thanksgiving. Everyone knows they're supposed to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. Everybody knows that. As you go shopping for Christmas gifts, please do me a favor. Don't go shopping for Christmas gifts this week. Saturday's okay, but not before Friday. Okay, Friday's the day of rest after you've had a very wonderful Thanksgiving day. Now, I'm going to talk about that Thanksgiving day or giving thanks a little bit. I have some guidelines for what I call a biblical Thanksgiving that I want to suggest to you. First of all, a biblical Thanksgiving is innocent. It's innocent. Giving thanks to God, there should be no motive other than pure gratitude. It's innocent. Thanksgiving is giving thanks and that alone. Of all the different types of prayer, this is the least likely to be contaminated by our own conscience or subconscious desire to manipulate God. I think we would call ourselves and allow ourselves to get back to just thanking him for who he is. That's a great start. Just give praise and thanks to him for being alive. He is the creator is all. You could read numerous scriptures at this point to just identify the greatness of God and the holiness. The holiness being the challenge to us because he's called us to be holy as well. Second, a biblical thanksgiving is intelligent. You see, this is my view. It involves looking back over the past. And that's one of the things we very seldom do. In scripture, the people are always called to look at what God has done. Not what he's going to do, but it seems in our generation, we're looking to the future. What's he going to do for me next? Versus what has he done already? That's why I say it's intelligent. Thanksgiving is neglected today, partly because modern Western culture is so obsessed with the future. How many of you came to church today hoping that you heard me talk about Revelation? Nobody. Praise God. It's just like there's an obsession with preparing to be in the presence of God versus thanking him for all that he's done to get you to this place. And you look back and you go, well, my life wasn't that exciting. Hey, think of the alternative. You're alive and you're breathing and you're in a place where you're worshiping God. That's pretty good. Now, some of us have had a little bit more trials than others, but you've made it through. Are you still wrestling, still going on? Thank God you're still in the fight, in the battle. And that's part of his love for you and I, is to not allow us to stay someplace where we haven't finished what he's called us to do yet. So he's still calling us. You see, to give thanks to God is to look backward, not forward, and to express gratitude for the good things that have come our way. Number three, a biblical thanksgiving should be inclusive. This is a tough one. It is amazing in the last 5 or 6 years how divisive Thanksgiving has become for most families. It's a time when we don't invite somebody someplace, or when we go, we're going to argue. Families that gather together and they don't want to be there. Some party doesn't want to be there because somebody's going to talk politics. Somebody's going to talk religion. Somebody's going to talk money. And we really don't want to do that. I really am bothered by this expression. I don't need that. Let me tell you, that is not a Christian term. Loving people is the override. And that's really where inclusiveness comes from, is everybody comes to the place where you can say, thank you, God, for the health and the wealth that we do have. Now, you may feel in your heart it's not enough. I'm not healthy enough or I'm not wealthy enough, whatever it is. But you can also give thanks to God for your friends, for your family, your housing, the holidays, or 100 other lesser things that you can thank God for. Let's give him thanks for all the small things in life. It's inclusive, in other words, all the variety of things you can give God thanks for. It's not limited. It should be the theme, I think, running through our lives, with the result being of at least 5 blessings being self-evident. Let me give you 5 quick blessings. First of all, the first is that thankfulness forces us to focus on what we have had rather than what we want. You focus on what we have or had, not on what we want. I want 5 more Evans, okay? Yeah, you're smiling, right? That's a big challenge. But I tell you, having one is just wonderful. I honestly never thought I would be a great-grandfather. It was hard enough being a dad. It's time to say amen, son. Yeah. He's being kind to me today. Giving God thanks should be a theme. Let me say that again. Thankfulness forces us to focus on what we have had rather than what we want. The second is that thankfulness highlights God's grace. It highlights his grace to us, that it cannot be explained. And you know, often the definition of grace is unmerited favor. What have you done in your life to be the beneficiary of a great-grandson, for example? There's nothing that you can do. Children. To have children, to have your siblings have children, to be an auntie or an uncle, it has nothing to do with money. This is the richness of life. It's just living life to its fullest. It's having generations. Thankfulness highlights grace. I couldn't have done this on my own, but you helped me. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving removes the temptation to boast and strengthens the only basis on which we can relate to God, that of accepting our own unworthiness and God's free grace in Jesus Christ. That's a great reason to celebrate Thanksgiving by itself. That's a blessing. The third blessing is that thankfulness encourages a positive attitude. It forces us to think about what is right with our lives rather than what is wrong. What is right versus what's missing, or what have I not gotten yet, or what am I striving for? It's an important age when many feel depressed around us. People are focusing on all the negative things that are going on in life. And along you come and say, hallelujah, isn't God's grace wonderful? I'm so thankful that you and I, who don't agree on so many things, we get to work together. We don't talk that way. If you don't like somebody, you don't talk to them. You're working with people that are people and you don't want to know them. And it hurts when you carry so much to be thankful for and all you have to do is share it with somebody, it changes the atmosphere. Thanking God is a proven way of piercing the gloomiest of clouds. Thanking God. Even when we suffer loss, thanking God is a hard thing to do, but it's really the way to deal with it. A fourth is that thankfulness develops hope for the future. Looking forward backward to the past with thanksgiving actually helps us to look forward to the future with anticipation. If the past was so good, what else has God got that's even greater that I can't even imagine? Going off to Texas, what's life going to be like? Oh, it's hot and sweaty in the summer and got big mosquitoes and snakes and cockroaches. They even have cockroaches in Texas. Do you believe that, Michael? They have cockroaches in Texas. Alaska has no cockroaches. They can't handle the cold. So they come to Hawaii and see a flying B-52 and they go crazy. I give thanks to our B-52s. They keep Alaskans humble. Screaming at 2 o'clock in the morning. How did that thing get in my bathroom? Yeah, it's wonderful. But God's grace is just overwhelming for us. But we just need to focus on it and express it. A fifth blessing is that to practice thankfulness regularly ensures that gratitude will spill over into every area of our lives. Gratitude will spill over. We can't thank God enough for our difficult colleagues, our relatives, our neighbors, for long before finding that we express a positive attitude toward them changes things. Now, let me give you a couple of thoughts real quick in regard to this. I had to think real hard because I'll explain it in a minute. Grumpiness and irritability do not grow well in the climate of gratitude. Gratitude and generosity go hand in hand. And I put this on there. Those who regularly give thanks to God find they are ready to give to others. Now, it may be a challenge for you to accept that, but that's a biblical truth. If you can give thanks to God regularly, you find that you share the goodness of God more frequently. Now, with that thought, I'm going to close here because a thankful heart is awake to God's goodness. It lives in the contrast wonder of his first judgment about the world. It is good. It is good. Can you say it is good? Come on, say it like you mean it. It's good. It is good. He made it. That's why it's good. It has nothing to do with your goodness. It's everything to do with him declaring it's good. And we just are repeating what he declared with his own lips. It is good. Somebody comes to you with bad news, and you go, wow, that's good. They'll think you're nuts, right? You're not realist. You haven't thought through this properly. Let me tell you, the thankful heart speaks the language of heaven. The thankful heart speaks the language of heaven. It is good. And as I close this morning, I'll give you three ways to look at Thanksgiving this week. This is the action plan, if you will. First of all, Thanksgiving is more than an American holiday. It's a godly way of life. We could be celebrating Thanksgiving every day, right? But we put it into one holiday, and it's got enough in that one day to overwhelm us. But if we're living a Thanksgiving life every day, Thanksgiving, the celebration, is a time for us to come together and celebrate together, just like church. If you're walking in the Holy Spirit, if you're clothed with the Spirit every day, when you come to church, that increases the presence of God by all of us walking in obedience and love and in faith, increases the environment. And guess what? The environment changes for those who walk in who haven't been walking in the presence of God. See, a thankful heart is more than a good idea. It's the will of God for his people. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Paul's words here in Thessalonians have something to teach us about the will of God. He wants us to be thankful, well, from the heart. Not just in saying because it's courteous. Why torture ourselves by discovering God's will when the obvious first step is right in front of us? To be thankful. Number two, true thankfulness should be the mark of God's community. Can we walk in thankfulness? That's the challenge before us. One of the ways that we would know how thankful we are is when we see people in need. One simple example of this morning is Angel Tree, Salvation Army's annual effort to present Christmas gifts before Thanksgiving to people who need Christmas gifts. We gave turkeys, we gave food for those who are hungry. Now our eyes immediately, it's not Thanksgiving yet, but our eyes are on Christmas. See, it's just every day in the early church, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Let me say, one of my prayers is that not one person who attends this church is alone on Thanksgiving Day. I just think that's a tragedy. If you haven't been invited someplace to share a meal, will you come and let me know honestly after service? And I will find a place. If not with me, you will be with somebody. Did you guys get invited yet for Thanksgiving meal? Yeah, I bet I know who it is, right? Everybody should be in somebody's house for Thanksgiving, celebrating as part of the family. And nobody should be celebrating alone. It's terrible. How many times have we overlooked that passage there that says glad and sincere hearts that's mentioned in Scripture? Happiness is not a duty required by God. It's a result of new life in Christ. Amen. You don't have to get very far into the fruit of the Spirit to see the role of kindness. The role of thankfulness is producing love, joy, and peace. You think about what's birthing out of the Spirit that you carry with you. Are they words of thankfulness? Are they words of discouragement? Got a new ache. By the way, at my age, every part of me aches every day. Then I see Evan and all my pain goes away. I'm so thankful. Seriously. The idea that we grow old and become less, you know, I said it last week, or a couple weeks ago, when my grandson Noah was here. He's like 6'2", 185 pounds, all muscle. When I told all of you that I look like that in high school, a lot of people laughed. But in my mind, that's exactly how I looked. Thank you for that clarity, sweetheart. One of the reasons God gives you wives is to keep your feet on the earth, you know? But honestly, how do you see yourself? Are you thankful for your appearance? If not, you should go to Leah's gym and work out more frequently. God has a way of forcing us to be clear about what we're thankful for. And really, today I'm appealing to you. Now I'm going to give you some secular advice. There's an excellent article that I found from WebMD. It's called Boost Your Health with a Dose of Gratitude. Doctors have proven that if you have the right attitude, you can get healthy just by carrying the right attitude. In fact, they've also proven that if you have the wrong attitude, diseases become more prevalent. Now, I see a few people nodding. Is it all about attitude? No. we fall prey to consequences often. You know, I often hear people say, well, it's okay, God's in control. You know, sometimes I have an argument in my mind. If I've been smoking cigarettes for all my life and doctors have told me that it causes lung cancer, when I get lung cancer and I turn to somebody and say, well, God's in control, that says, does that say that he decided that I need lung cancer? No. It's a consequence of not paying attention to stuff. So he doesn't override consequences. He gives us choices. So you can choose, the point being, whether you celebrate Thanksgiving or not, we all need to be reminded to practice Thanksgiving on a daily basis. And that's my message today. We can practice with an attitude of gratitude. It's not a duty to be fulfilled by something, but something that will bless us and others. It's typical. I want everybody to be blessed. So I'm praying and believing that by changing attitudes, we can be blessed. Changing an attitude about Thanksgiving. Who is it that you need to build a bridge with for Thanksgiving? Who is it that's separated from you for some reason that you're just digging your feet in and going, ah, well, we'll just see what happens, but I can live without them for now. You don't need that. Who is it you need to talk to and convince yourself that I'm not walking in the right direction? Now, they may be wrong. That's not what I'm getting at. The attitude is in you over them. And you can apologize and have peace for a day and then go back to your grumpy ways and watch what happens. But get it settled. Don't let this week go by without that reconciliation. Ephesians 5:20 says this. Give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for everything. And I would subscribe to this. This is my last statement. G.K. Chesterton, who some of you might know, theologian from old days, said this. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought. And that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Now, that's a thought-provoking statement. We have lost, many of us have lost the wonder of God. We throw the word awe around so easily. Every circumstance holds me in awe. No, no. There's only, in my mind, only one person that deserves awe. Lord Jesus Christ. With that, I'll ask you to stand. Let this week percolate in your heart that you're going to build a bridge, that you're going to determine that this is not a Thanksgiving that's going to be consumed by Christmas shopping. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come on, make a commitment. This is hard to do, but draw a line in the sand. Say, I am not going shopping. Let me hear you. I am not going shopping for Christmas gifts before Thanksgiving. Dion, I didn't see your lips move. Come on now, you've already been shopping, right? You can't go back on it. Bring all your gifts to my house. I'll hold them until after Thanksgiving, okay? I love you guys, and I pray that God is going to speak to you this week, and you'll have testimonies of great revelation. Go down to the street and stand with this gentleman and talk about the goodness of God for 15 minutes and watch people's lives change. Amen? You believe that? I know he does. He's filled with power. The idea is that you carry something that the world wants. They just don't know what it looks like. Huh? Do you believe that? Thank you for that. Amen, Tony. You're the only guy I know. You got another brother over here. He walks in it. Come on. Hey, who's that guy behind you, Tony? Who's that? No, don't turn around. The guy, Rafa, do you know that you walk in the power that can change people's lives? Yeah. It's not your cooking, brother. It's not your cooking. It's your heart. Let's pray. Lift your hands to the Lord. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're just so grateful that we can stand in a country, Lord, that for our longest time we declared was built upon your premises, Lord, your principles, that you inspired our founders to be a country where freedom was cherished. We as a people are hungry for the freedom that Jesus Christ would offer us. But as a nation, we also will go to war to defend our principles of what it means to be an American. I pray that we would go to war for our principles of what it means to be a Christian today. Will we not let separation cause our families to be cast aside? Will we not let anger cause us to drive people away from us? Will we not let the things that would distract us from giving thanks to you rule our lives. I pray today, God, as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving, that we think of blessing somebody this week with a gift from you. I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Go in peace. We love you guys. Come to the altar if you want prayer. Hallelujah. We're here. Lord bless you. Brother, so good to see you.